After a jam-packed week in the National Lacrosse League, there's only one place to be. You're listening to NLL Tonight with Andy McNamara and Carlin Yang.
The Rochester Nighthawks are the champions of the world. Welcome to NLL Tonight on National Lacrosse League Radio, presented by Reebok Lacrosse. McNamara, alongside Carlin Gay, it is the season wrap special. Follow us on Twitter at AndyMC81 and at Carlin Gay. Email us to NLLtonight@NLL.com. Carlin, producer Sason Orion, is trying to track down Matt Vince of the Rochester Nighthawks, the star goaltender. Wow, what a game he had.
What a game. What a second half he had.
Oh, boy.
Nothing was getting past him. Hopefully he feels all our questions the way he was able to feel every single ball that came his way in that second half.
Man, what a game it was. And Carlin, watching that championship, it looked like at the half, 5-1, I was thinking, by God, Edmonton's going to do it again. They're going to do it again. They were playing classic Edmonton shutdown mode.
They were.
They were almost going back to the old way of the season when they had their few wins where defense first, get that bit of scoring. But a four-goal cushion, Aaron Bold and net. If I was in Vegas, all my money was going on the Rush for the second half.
And if we're able to track down Matt Vince, I want to know what exactly was said in the locker room.
Me too.
To
yeah.
turn things around.
Something.
Because a switch was flipped. And just like that, Matt Vince and the Palaces and the Jamesons, who was the game MVP, got things going. And they completely shut down Edmonton. And Edmonton turned back into the Edmonton Rush that couldn't score at all.
No. And through those first two games to get to the through the West to win that division. Remember, that 1911 thumping of Calgary.
Yep.
The dominance over Minnesota. I wonder if it was almost using up too much going into that final. But, hey, they had a terrific first half. But Matt Vince shut out the Rush for 26 minutes and 22 seconds from the end of the second quarter. And it was just a spectacular performance. One goal in the second half.
Yeah, one goal in the second half.
Yeah.
Credit the defense. Credit Vince. But also credit the Rochester offense that kept coming. And they finally broke through on Aaron Bull after scoring one goal themselves in the first half.
That's it. What an emotional roller coaster of a game it really it was.
Oh. And a star became a star. Now you can't complain. You know, we knew Cody Jameson was good.
Yes.
Before
we had him
this
on the
game.
Show.
We had him on the show. We knew he was good before this game. But now he cements his legacy in a Champions Cup final. 8 points. He had a hand in every goal except for one. He dominated.
Yeah.
MVP, 4 goals, 4 assists.
And this is a player who was the highly touted rookie a year ago. In his second year, Carlin, if there was any doubt about conditioning, any doubt about his heart, about being a team guy, this man got 8 points in the championship and got the MVP. His reputation is set for the rest of his career.
Not only did he do that, but he did that against the best defensive team in the league.
Yes.
That coming in knew they had to stop him. They only stopped him for one half. He showed up when the lights were on.
And let's go back to the Rush here. So Aaron Bold, as good as Matt Vince was in the second half, and let's face it, the second half is what counts.
You got to give credit where credit's due, though.
He only allowed that one goal in the first quarter and really took it to the Nighthawks and took the punch out of their step. On the Edmonton side, how Rochester rebounded, I wonder if Edmonton almost got a little bit complacent there and was like, hey, you know what? We're known for defense. We'll shut them down just like we did Minnesota.
Yeah, well, but the future is bright in Edmonton. Despite them losing this game, they still have – we were talking about it before we went on. They still have draft picks galore after all the trades they made. Now, maybe the question we asked at the beginning of the year, why doesn't anyone want to play for Edmonton? Maybe the question is now, a lot of people would like to play for Edmonton. There's a lot of young talent on this team. They got draft picks. They're only going to get better. So losing in a Champions Cup final, we saw it happen to Washington 2 times in a row, going back-to-back and losing, and then them falling right off the cliff. Hopefully that doesn't happen for Edmonton.
Yeah, like Washington, Toronto getting to the 2 finals previously, winning the first in 2010, then losing to Toronto, and you're right, just completely
falling off the cliff.
Completely falling off.
Even making the playoffs after back-to-back appearances.
Which is so strange to me still. And we'll cover our biggest disappointments and surprises of the year. For Aaron Bold being a young goaltender, playing previously under Matt Vince, you talk about the future being bright for Rochester. Mm-hmm. before the rush. And you talked about trades. Check this out. General manager Derek Keane and head coach. Genius. Who a guest on this show. In the trades, in the, his wheelings and dealings, he's not only brought all-star defenseman Chris Corbeil to this club. He has two first-round selections in this year's draft. So you have a club that is going to get, despite getting to the finals, they're going to get a darn good position in the draft.
Yes, they are.
Two first-round picks. You got an additional first-round pick from that deal with Brody Merrill, who went to Philly.
Yep.
Man, Edmonton Rush, we could see a new power that be in the West.
And it's good to stockpile draft picks and all that, but when you're stocking them in a draft that's supposed to be pretty darn good and pretty darn deep with a lot of offensive firepower, this team that had trouble scoring can now grab a couple guys, mix in with the experience they got with their young players this year. Look out.
Well, check out this quote from Edmonton Rush owner Bruce Irvin. There are a couple of absolute, maybe the best offensive players to come out of the draft who can really take this roster to the next level.
That's
and
a big Edmonton, statement.
Edmonton can get two of them.
That's a big statement.
In the first round.
That is a very big statement. Two of them, that two picks that they didn't have before.
That's it.
That's a big statement.
That's huge. And but, Carl, that also gives them the adaptability in the draft if they have a player in mind who's already in the league. To move up, to switch. We just saw a lot of that in the NFL draft. Positioning in a league like the NLL where there's nine teams, you got to make an impact quick.
Yeah.
And how competitive this league is. So hats off to the Rush. It's going to be a bright future in Edmonton where Carlin, up until the last couple weeks of the season, it looked like disaster as usual. Not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore. And it's good to have those draft picks as well, Andy, now that the CBA is also in question coming up this fall, so you can keep your team very young. Say everything changes, you have a young squad going forward, that could change a lot of things. Edmonton could be a team to beat going forward,
and we'll hopefully be able to ask Matt Vince later on this question. We chatted last week, Carl, leading up to the Champions Cup, the word dynasty as being a possibility for the Rochester Nighthawks, because you have that key goal stop and you got the youth, you have the MVP in his second year, and you have Palace, Hill. It's endless.
Yeah, we were talking about how young Edmonton is. Rochester's pretty darn young themselves.
And I love the Rochester mix of some veterans in there too. You have Micah Kersey, okay, and remember he was the only player from Rochester 2007 championship, so he was really the go-to guy.
Yep.
And I'm sure he had to stay in that locker room to come out in the second half.
Leadership for Kersey, McCready's, and he's. He's done it himself as well.
McCready's a legend.
I mean, this Rochester team, you mentioned it, hit the nail right on the head. They have the perfect mix of young players and that older veteran savvy. And it showed in a one-game final just like this. They didn't get too down on themselves because they could have packed it in and said, hey, you know what? 5-1 Aaron Bolt stopping everything. Let's hang our heads and just congratulate them, shake their hands, and hand them the Champions Cup. They said, no, we're going to come out firing. They did just that, and they only allowed one goal the rest of the way. Matt Vince stood on his head.
Well, Carlin, if you're – this almost seems like it could be a changing of the guard in each division.
Yep.
Because you have the Toronto Rock, who are an aging club. They have some young, bright spots, but they're an aging club.
Well, let's face it. The Rock are the standard that most try to follow in this league. Yeah, they're the Los Angeles Lakers. They're the New York Yankees. They're the New England Patriots of the National of the National Lacrosse League. So everyone kind of looks up at them and sees, but now that they've lost Whipper, everyone's trying to catch up, and Rochester could be that next standard with a man like Matt Vincenette.
And the parity in the league, we've talked about it all year long, how good it is, and really. To win the and I'm sure going into next year as well, it's going to be you got to get on some good runs and you got to have a little bit of luck.
You do.
Because really, even Washington, who missed the playoffs, you look, any one of the teams in this league have championship caliber talent who can bring home a title. And that's what makes watching and working with the NLL so exciting.
You got to be good to be lucky, but they also had the good fortune of not having any major injuries to any key players for a long period of time. They did go through that small little exchange mid-season at what was it
the Minnesota situation.
They did go through that, but bounce back.
And you know what? That could have been a drawing point. And I want to ask Matt, Vince, when was the turning point in the year? Was it Jordan Hall going down with that season-ending knee injury?
They still have him.
They do still have him. We forget about Jordan Hall. Was it the Minnesota situation with those suspensions? Where really, Carlin, no one would have blamed Rochester, man, if they rolled over and died.
You can't go to Applebee's at 11 o'clock anymore.
Not in Minnesota, apparently. But to be able to pound their way through that with the likes of Vitarelli and Akersi stepping up when you had top-tier talent suspended in a 16-game schedule, that's huge.
Very huge.
And they got through it. And I bet that's a big drawing point that they were able to really call upon and say, hey, guys, remember this? Let's go and get it done. And
these are the questions we're going to definitely have to ask Mr. Vince when Sace gets him on the phone. Hurry up, Sace. Get him on the phone. But now, that being said, now that the season is over, let's kind of sit back. We have an opportunity to look back at things and look forward to next year. Draft's coming up. We know that.
Hopefully it's in Toronto again. I loved working on that last year.
Yeah, that was pretty, you did a pretty good job, actually.
You sound surprised.
Now, with these teams, we talked about the Toronto.
Yes.
They don't have – well, people expect championships here in Toronto.
That's it.
They expect it. They don't get it from either other league. They expect it with the Toronto.
The fans that show up.
The fans expect championships here in Toronto. Buffalo is another situation where they don't like to lose either.
No.
Rochester winning. Philly is a young squad. They have a couple pieces there. Kevin Crowley Dan Dawson tried to carry them for majority of the season. They did a good job, but then kind of fell off at the end of the year. They need firepower there. In the East, looking forward, who do you see has the upper hand in that division that can make that run like Rochester made this year?
I think you have to give the nod to Rochester, not just because they won the championship, but because you have an aging Buffalo squad. Mm-hmm. And we had John Tavares on this program, and he's 43 years old, and he got 80 points. But I truly believe until John Tavares hangs it up, it will always be Tavares' team, and the offense will always go through him. And at this stage, I don't think that's the way to go, and they're going to be able to get over that hump. And on the other side, you have Toronto. Terry Sanderson, he's not afraid to make moves.
Nope.
So they have to get bigger, stronger, faster on defense to turn this around to protect Nick Rose. They say they have
if
their goal. They say he's his goaltender of the future. He's a young kid, and then you move to Philadelphia, who are a little bit of an enigma because they seem to have all the pieces in place to take that next step. And if you look at the season as a whole, Carl, they finished last a year ago. They got the first overall pick.
What pick he was.
So if you look at the season as a whole, and Philadelphia was in first place for a time. Yes, they didn't get the success in the playoffs, but they got there. Philadelphia could be a bit of a dark horse, but that's another club that has to be careful not to get stuck in the old man movement when you have those. We saw in Toronto how fast Rochester. This game's about speed.
Yes, it is.
The rules change
that.
Yeah, you need the big bodies. You need the long. But it's about speed, and it's about transition. And right now in the East, it's all Rochester to me.
That's why I'm a little worried for Buffalo.
Yeah.
Buffalo and Toronto, because they don't have that foot speed that the Rochester
not enough of it.
Nighthawks and the Philadelphia Crowleys have. Looking at West, though, it's the same thing. I'm interested to see what Calgary does now. A tremendous season.
Again, another tremendous
season. And
then
they flop in the playoffs. And how many times is it going to take for them to flop before they get it together and finally break through with a win?
Yeah. Two out of the last 3 years, the Edmonton Rush eliminated Calgary, and Calgary has owned them in the regular season.
And not only owned, they've dominated them.
Yeah.
Absolutely dominated them, and they just can't seem – they do everything they need to do to get home field advantage, home court advantage, however you want to call it, and then they just flop.
It seems you can't really put a finger on it. You have the goaltender of the year.
You do.
A year ago, you had – the transition player of the year in Jeff Schaller and the MVP who we had on this program. You have the pieces. You have the unit. And it's not even like, let's say, the New York Rangers of the mid-90s for the NHL where you had all this all-star power and they didn't convert in the regular season. This team gets it done in the regular season.
They're just flopping.
It's the million-dollar question. How do they get over that hump? What about Colorado, Carlin?
Colorado's another team that is, I guess, in the Buffalo range where they do have the young youth.
Yeah.
But they have to be careful with, well, the way John Grant Jr. played this year. You don't think he'll be slowing down anytime soon, but just like you're questioning whether Buffalo can win with John Tavares at the helm and being the star and the focal point of the offense, I have to question that too. John Grant, he's getting there up in the year. After a year like this, everyone's going to be like, there's no way he's slowing down.
No.
But you don't wake up in the morning and gradually slow down. You just wake up in the morning and you slow down. It just happens. You fall off a cliff. I'm interested to see. Maybe they kind of give Adam Jones a little bit more responsibility and then give the younger players a little bit more responsibility and still let John Grant. You don't take the ball right out of John Grant's hands. He's still going to get things done.
He's going to get his points.
But I'm interested to see the second year that Adam Jones has on this team.
And I want to see for Colorado Chris Levis.
Yes.
How does he rebound? Because Steven Stamp, who came on this program from Isle Indoor, made a couple of interesting comments. As good as of a stat year he had, he isn't necessarily known as a clutch goaltender. Mm-hmm. So could that be a weak point in Colorado, where maybe you look to improve the goaltending? Or do you say, hey, you know what, Chris Levis, you got another year, you're the man, and let's see how things play out. However, we keep talking about youth. What about Minnesota? Such a bunch of wild stallions.
Stallions indeed.
In Swordland.
They're in a good spot because they have a two-headed monster in net.
They do.
And they parlay one of those pieces.
That led in 15 goals to Edmonton.
Yeah, well, Edmonton was playing on fire. You caught them at the wrong time. But they have a two-headed monster in net that they can trade one and keep the other and build that way. So that's an interesting spot in Minnesota.
A lot of youth on Minnesota.
Buffalo Bandits, their hands to me are tied. They're going to be – Darris Kilgore has a tough job ahead of him.
Minnesota
going
is laughing
into this offseason.
For Anthony Cosmo, Minnesota fans should be – they shouldn't be angry at Anthony Cosmo for not wanting – they should be cheering.
Yes.
You have two first-round draft picks for Anthony Cosmo.
Yes.
Thank you,
yeah.
Buffalo.
Yeah,
thank you,
Buffalo. And the last team, and I promised I wouldn't mention them on this program because I was so disgusted the way they played all year long.
Yeah.
So much talent on that team and just to not get it done and not even make the playoffs. You see, if they were able to just make the playoffs, sneak in, they could have run on a run like Edmonton did.
Absolutely.
You never knew what happened. And I'm talking about, of course, the Washington Stealth. And this Washington team, they made that trade midway through the season with Edmonton.
Got the nooch.
They got the nooch. That didn't help.
Nope.
Reese Dutch. I mean, it was a tough year.
Reese Clutch Dutch.
We got him on after the one game where he was clutch as ever.
That's
and
right.
And then didn't hear from him ever since.
Yeah, they had Ratcliffe. There were the injury troubles at the beginning. Zawicki.
Even with those injuries, they still have talented players on that team.
Absolutely. And with Tyler Richards in goal, a stellar netminder, I want to start the rumor and signs. Bring back Roik. Come on, people. Let's hear a chant, Washington. Bring back Roik. Let's do it.
That is not happening. That is not.
He will.
We've heard the last
play again, yeah.
Of Matt Roik.
He's done.
Unfortunately. He was my guy.
I liked Roik, and
he was wrongfully dismissed.
He was. But it was his chance to get us started. And well, what a difference from when we started the year, Matt Roik was the guy, a new leaf, changing over. Now he's out of the league. But for Washington, Carlin, it's another situation where you have the pieces. Every single thing went wrong. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you necessarily want to blow it all up because of the talent you have, but there's got to be something. Something has to be done.
Well,
you have to move some people out. You have to – I don't know.
They can look towards the draft at least.
They can look towards the draft, and you have to have you have to really try to pinpoint what went wrong. Why weren't these guys clicking? Was it just one of those things where injuries seemed to come at odd times? One guy came back. It took the Iannucci a few games to get going. They came up against some hot teams in the West. Remember, they have to play Colorado and Calgary.
Yep.
And then Minnesota got hot as well. So, you know, Washington's going to have a tough go.
I still, even everything went wrong, and I still bothers me. It bothers me that they couldn't get the five wins.
I know.
The five wins it took. That's all they needed.
Yep.
Edmonton finished the year, or they need 7 wins.
Yeah.
To make the playoffs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right.
They couldn't get the 7 wins to make the playoffs, Andy.
Being in the finals, 2 years removed from their own championship, and they couldn't do it.
They couldn't make the 7 wins.
They couldn't do it.
That just bothers me.
Well, Carlin, after we hopefully talk with Matt Vince, Stace is still trying to get him on the phone. Let's talk about later on at the end of the show, our biggest surprise and biggest disappointment and things moving forward.
Yeah, why don't we do that? But in the meantime, we'll try to grab the starting goaltender of now, the Champion Cup, defending, reigning champions of the world, Rochester Nighthawks, Matt Vince. Hopefully, we'll be coming up next after this quick break. You are listening to the NLL Tonight.
Hi, this is Matt Vince with the Rochester Nighthawks, the 2012 NLL champions, and you're listening to NLL Tonight.
Back on the NLL Tonight, we were able to get him on the phone from the 2012 NLL champion, Rochester Nighthawks, the number one goalie in the league, in our minds anyway. Matt Vince, welcome to NLL Tonight. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
First of all, congratulations. What a night. What a victory it was. Rochester's first since 2007. Let's take us back a little bit here. So, Rochester was trailing 5-1 heading into the half. Edmonton was utilizing their classic shutdown mode. What was the feeling in the locker room, and what was said that turned the game around?
The feeling in the locker room was, obviously we were disappointed with our first half effort, but I think, you still feel a little bit of that confidence. Down the stretch, I think we came back and we had a couple big third quarters against Toronto and Philadelphia. So, in our minds, we knew we could put up some numbers. Edmonton was playing well defensively. We just didn't think that we were moving the ball very well on offense. And we thought that, if we had some open looks, we might be able to find the back of the net and get the crowd into it. So, our coach just said, stay to our principles. Patty McCready, Mike Kersey stepped up and just said, guys, all we have to do is get one, and then hopefully they'll start falling from there. And, that's the type of leadership we had all year, whether from our coaches or the veterans in the league. And, it was a great feeling when we first got that one in the third quarter and, the place erupted. And I think that was all the confidence we needed.
Well, this team definitely had its share of controversy throughout the entire year. We had the little debacle in Minnesota with the suspensions. We had the season-ending injury to Jordan Hall. What was really the turning point with this squad that gave you guys that kind of confidence that made you think that this could be a reality and you're living it right now as Champions Cup champions?
I think it kind of started when we were playing in Calgary at home. We were down in that game and we really rebounded well in the second half and came out with a good victory. A little bit of a letdown the next week in Buffalo, but then when we were playing Philadelphia the next week and we were able to beat them and that was going to be our first round matchup. That was kind of I think the turning point in our year down the stretch. We were able to rattle off a couple wins later in the year and we try to put a lot of that stuff behind us. Saying, the guys that are going to get it done are the guys in the locker room, and we need to start playing well, as a unit, just not offense or defense. And I don't think we put together a solid 60 minutes until that last Rochester-Philly game at home. And I think that was definitely the confidence booster we needed.
We're joined now by NLL champion from the Rochester Nighthawks, goaltender Matt Vince. Matt, a lot of respect has to go out to Edmonton for their unlikely playoff run, and especially to Aaron Bold. Now, you two played together in Rochester previously. Talk a bit about the type of player he is, and what did you say to him after the game?
Playing with Boldy last year, you really see how athletic he is. I think the two of us are probably the more athletic goalies in the league, and it was great to get to work with him and, see the type of competitor he is. He wanted to play and, Rochester gave him the opportunity and he ran with it. He had a great regular season and, he played unreal in the playoffs. I don't think they would be in the position they were if, they had a different goaltender. So, down that champions game, he was giving them a chance to win. We were up by two, I think, and he robbed Mike Kersey and, those were the type of saves that he gave, his team every night. And, just when we were shaking hands, I said, Boldy, you played unreal, and it was an NLL goal of the year, type of situation for you, where you know you could have won that award just as well as Mike Poulin did. So, at the end of the day, you know, Boldy, he's gonna be a great starting goalie in the league for a lot of years to come. You know, he's a good student of the game, and he's very athletic. So, I see a bright future in many seasons like that to come.
Speaking of bright futures, we in the media don't normally give a lot of times to celebrate. We're already looking forward to next year with a lot of youth on this team and the perfect blend between youth and kind of veteran leadership on this squad. A lot of people are already throwing out the word dynasty talking about this Rochester Nighthawks squad. Looking at the team as a whole, you're on the squad. Talk about this team going forward. Do you see this team being the standard now in the East Division?
I would like to hope so, but then again, you know, it was such a tight race this year. There's so much parity in the league, and you know, we were the dark horses coming up, and we had tough games with a lot of different teams in the league. So, we have some great young players. You know, Johnny Palaskiel, those guys stepped up huge. You know, Cody Jamison, obviously, and a lot of our young D guys had career games in the playoffs. So. Hopefully we can start to, get a lot of those efforts on a consistent basis. And I think we did so during that playoff run, which allowed us to be so successful. But, hopefully, we stay level-headed and we won without Jordan Hall. So him coming back is going to be huge. And, I think we have a lot of pieces in place, and you know, there are going to be things that we're going to address in the off season, hopefully, in order to, rectify some of our problems. But, overall, it's a good feeling, and with the youth, it's a possibility that we could be a strong team for years to come. And again, hopefully, there's no injuries on our side, and people come ready to play next year, and we don't get that champions hangover that a lot of teams do have. So hopefully, we come ready to play, and we're just as hungry as we were this year.
And you mentioned Jordan Hall, and he's obviously devastated after the knee injury season ender for him. Were you able to talk to him after, during, and during the Champions Cup run and after the game? What was his feeling?
Yeah, Halsey and I, we were roommates for the last 2 years. You know, I played with him in New York and Orlando. So, he's one of my best friends on the team. And, knowing the type of competitor he was, he was definitely, thrilled that we were able to win, but again, he wants to be part of it. He's a gamer, and he's used to contributing, and for him to sit on the sidelines, I think definitely it frustrated him, but at the end of the day, he did all the little things that he could to help us. In the locker room, he's telling us what we have to do when Cody drives down low, so he was helping out in any ways that he could in order for us to be successful. And I think the type of player he is, he's going to rehab well, and he's going to be ready to go game one next year. I think that's what his goal is, and he's a champion in a lot of different levels, and he's going to be ready to go next year and hungry for a Champions Cup.
Well, Matt, if you can believe it, it's already a year ago since Prague and Team Canada, when you were over there for the World Championships, you backstopped Canada to a gold medal. Compare winning gold for your country at the World Championships and this past week's NLL Champions Cup. Can you compare the two?
Yeah, you can. But, anytime you wear your country's jersey, it's definitely a different type of feeling. I think the biggest difference is that I lost in 2009 with New York in the Champions Cup, so I had that bitter taste in my mouth.
Right.
Going into Prague, we felt that we were the favorites, and in Rochester, we were kind of the underdogs throughout the course of the year. People were picking us to finish fourth in the East Conference, not really even giving us a chance to win a playoff game. So I think that's a little bit of the difference, is that this is something that where I've already experienced a loss, knew how frustrating and how hard it is to win, and I think that was the biggest difference. I went to Prague expecting to win, and I came into this NLL season wanting to win, and when we first started going to playoffs, then I kind of expected to win. So that was probably the biggest difference. And that any time you win in a league and you're on top, it's that same feeling of almost sort of a surreal moment, but you can't really grasp it, and it takes a little while to sink in.
Now, it was interesting in your last answer, you said you went to Prague expecting to win. You went into this season kind of wanting to win. Explain to kind of the listeners out there that aren't really athletes and maybe are playing at the game at this time or any other sport, what the difference in the mentality of that is going into any particular game.
You know, I think, for us being kind of the underdogs, it's a little bit less of a pressure situation. You know, even in that Champions game, it was great that Edmonton was able to dominate the way they did in Minnesota. And we were kind of seen, I think, by a lot of people as the underdog. So it takes a little bit of pressure off knowing that, you know, that people aren't expecting much out of you. And you use it as motivation in order to hopefully, you know, propel you into a win. And I think as far as that goes, you know, we were using a lot of this thing saying, you know, nobody expects us anything of us. So let's go out there and let's just shock people. Let's just show them, you know, the type of team we are. And I think that's we use that a little bit of motivation. Whereas in Prague, you know, we went there and we felt the pressures of, you know, what happens if we don't win? What if the U.S. and the Iroquois, you know, really come out and they show us? So again, both ways are good for motivation, you know, and I think that's what you need in sports. You need to be motivated and you need to want to excel and win at all levels.
Well, Matt, last question for you here. And we always put questions out to our Twitter followers at AndyMC81 and at Carlin Gay for our guests. So this question to you coming from at Ryan911T. What advice do you have for goalies that are just starting box lacrosse?
Goalies just start working on your athleticism and trying to be a top athlete, because, you know, the goalies that are coming through the league are starting to be that way. You need to be able to react. You know, who knows how big the nets are going to be in the next couple of years. So you need to be able to react. And I think that the biggest part for a goalie, you know, there's a lot of guys that can stop the ball in practice and things like that. But even for myself, at the beginning of my career, I think it's a lot of, you know, of the mental focus, you know, studying shooters and, you know, just being able to bounce back after goals, you know, not really get ahead of yourself. And I think that was the biggest transition for me over the last couple of years is, you know, just focus on one save at a time instead of, you know, trying to win the game all at once. So I think that's the biggest thing for a young goalie is one save at a time. You know, you can't think about things that have just happened. You got to just, you know, play every minute, play every save as if it's the one that matters the most then.
Great advice from a great goaltender. That is Matt Vince of the Rochester Nighthawks, continuing his winning ways, a gold medal and
That's
now
right.
Champions Cup to add to his resume. Thanks so much for joining us, Matt.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
When we come back, Andy and I will talk about our biggest surprises and disappointments of the National Lacrosse League season. You are listening to the NLL Tonight.
This is Colin Doyle, captain of the Toronto Rock, and you're listening to NLL Tonight.
Welcome back to the NLL Tonight on National Lacrosse League Radio, presented by Reebok Lacrosse. Andy McNamara with Carlin Gay. Special thanks to our guest from the 2012 NLL champion Rochester Nighthawks, stellar goaltender Matt Vince. Carlin, it's time to go over
Sace
our...
Sace gets to keep his job, by the way.
Sace, producer Sace and Ryan, well done, sir, for getting Matt Vince on the phone, chasing him all night. Carlin, time for our biggest surprise and biggest disappointment of the 2012 NLL season.
It is a huge surprise, and it should be to everyone else, that Kevin Crowley did not win Rookie. No, I'm just joking. It's just the Kevin Crowley dominant. He should have won Rookie of the Year, MVP.
Right. Adam Jones
won Transition Player
of the
Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Goaltender of the Year. He should have won it all, the way he played for the Philadelphia Crowleys. But all jokes aside, biggest disappointment or surprise of the year is Calgary being knocked out in the first round.
Yeah.
Of the play. I thought they had it together this year. I thought they were going to make that big run. I thought they were going to silence all those critics. And
tough to argue that going in, especially with Edmonton as a first-round opponent.
Yeah,
wasn't meant to be,
stars,
my friend.
Just the line for them, and consolations were just fogged out.
My biggest surprise was the goaltending situation in Toronto, where you had Matt Roich starting the year. Everyone beating the drum. Roich's our guy. He's not Watson. Don't worry about it. We're going to build around him. Halfway mark. Who's Matt Roich? I don't even know who that guy is.
Watch your back, Nick.
And then Nick Rose gets pulled in. A backup goaltender has never started. Took them on a 6-2 run, including a loss in the East
Finals.
Watch
your back, Nick.
That's my biggest surprise. No one could have saw this roller coaster goaltender ride coming about. What's your biggest disappointment, Carl?
Well, we already know what the biggest disappointment of the year is, and it is without question, the play of the Washington Stealth. I had to stop the music for that one, Andy, because
we need
Washington needs to hear this.
Yeah.
You guys cannot show up next year and play the way you played this year. If you don't make the playoffs next year, I won't say that. I was going to say they should just take you out of the league.
Well, I don't know about going that far, Carlin, but it certainly was surprising. I think if you would have told anybody Washington not even just not winning a playoff game but not being in the playoffs, certainly a shock. I'll agree with you there, and I think as well you have to look at the fall of the Buffalo Bandits.
Yeah, that's...
I think that's a pretty big shocker too, and how did they regroup with an aging lineup? That'll be interesting. But hey, Carlin, what a season it has been. We got to thank all our guests.
Thank you to every single one of our guests. We don't have enough time to name all of you, but thanks so much.
Shannon Kelly for filling in for you.
Yeah, thank
you.
You're
on vacation.
Shannon.
Twice.
We miss you. We need to see you soon. Sace Narayan, thank you so much.
Yeah.
We also thank Scott Dennis, of course.
Of course.
Got to thank Scott Dennis.
Here's the studio time here.
Durham College for allowing us to use their studio. Thank you guys for listening, tweeting us, emailing us all season.
A lot of fun.
Long.
Can't believe it's over.
For the last time.
That's it, man.
Follow AndyMC81 on Twitter, at Carlin Gay on Twitter. And, of course, you can still email us, even though the season is over.
I don't know what we'll talk about now, but...
at NLL.com. We can talk about the draft. We can talk about...
Actually, hey, that's true.
We can talk... There's plenty... Sports never stops.
That's true.
Sports never, ever stops.
And you keep following us. We have a football podcast coming up in the summer, too. Stay tuned to our Twitter for that as well.
That's a cheap plug if you've ever heard one.
Oh, yes.
Be sure you're going to hear a lot more coming your way.
Let's wrap this sucker up.
Let's wrap it up indeed. Make sure you log on to NLL.com throughout the entire summer. They will have
lots
you covered on all the news. We'll see you next year.